Last week we were discussing the Nawafil. Inshallah, today we continue from where we stopped. So today's lecture, inshallah, will be brief so that we can entertain some questions. Because I would like to stop everything by saying I have a lecture somewhere. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله مران صلى أربعا قبل العصر رواه أحمد وأبو داود والترمذي وحسنه وابن خزيمة وصححه from عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه. He said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah have mercy on a man or a person from the arba'an qabl al-asr that pray for rak'ah before asr. Rawahu Ahmad reported this, or Abu Dawood, and Abu Dawood or Trimizi and Trimizi. وَحَسَّنَ and then he declared to be Hassan. وابن خزيمة, Ibn Khuzayma also recorded it, وَصَحَأَ and declared it to be Sahih. Now if you look at this hadith and compare it to the hadith of Habiba or the hadith of Aisha that have preceded, the one that says that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will pray two rak'ah before Zuhr, two rak'ah after Zuhr, then two rak'ah after Maghrib, two rak'ah after Isha, and two rak'ah before Fajr. According to what Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that alhamdulillah, he observed this with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That of Habiba, like with that of Aisha radiallahu anha. In some of them, you have that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to pray four rak'ah before, then two rak'ah after, two rak'ah after Maghrib, two rak'ah after Isha, two rak'ah after before Subh, making it 12 years. In another report, you have four rak'ah before Zuhr, four rak'ah after Zuhr. All the same, all of them from who? Huh? From Habiba. And Aisha radiallahu anha talked about the rak'ah al-fajr, likewise the other nawafil, and that of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anha. If you compare all this with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, which Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Limizi, and Ibn Khuzayma reported that the Prophet said, Rahim Allah Imran Sallah, Qabla al-Asr al-Ba'an. May Allah have mercy on the person that pray four rak'ah before Asr. You see that this was not mentioned in the hadith of Habiba, neither was it mentioned in the hadith of Ibn Umar or the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. So this shows that it is recommended to pray four rak'ah before Asr as well. The fact that the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is another hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, the fact that it did not contain does not mean what? There is no any recommended salah before Asr. So those ones are talking about the rawatib, while these ones are talking about nawafil before. Not all nafila before are rawatib. not on Nafila before I watch Rawatib. But some of the Nawafil before I watch Rawatib, like two before Zuhr. Some scholars say four. Why some say no, it is only two that is watched, the Rawatib are there. The remaining two I just watch Nafila. So you benefit that from this hadith. Likewise, if you look at the hadith of that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bina kulli adhanin salah," between two adhan, that is, iqama and watch, and adhan. "Bina kulli adhanin salah," between two iqama and between the iqama and adhan, there is watch salah. And this is the evidence that some of the scholars who have said that as-salatu khayru min an-nawm should be made in what? In the second adhan. Because here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Baina kulli adhanain salah." There is salah between two adhan. And the consensus of the scholars is that what? The adhanain here is referring to what? Adhan, that is the regular or the normal adhan, and the common. So that means for every salah, we have what? Two adhan. For every salah, we have two adhan. Two adhan for salatul zuhr, that is the adhan in order to call people from their houses, remote. Then the second one is for the people of the mosque to get ready for the salah. Afri, you have two adhan. Maghrib, you have two adhan. Isha, you have two adhan. Subh, you have two adhan as well. Abi? You say three? We have two adhan. According to these people, they say the first one is not adhan of subh. Because the Prophet of Allah said, "Inna bilalan yuqaddinu zillayli fa kunuz wa shrabu hatta yuqaddina ibn ummi maktubi." Bilal makes his adhan at night. فَقُولُوا وَشْرَبُوا continue to eat, drink, hatta yu'adhina ibn ummi maktum. Continue to eat and drink until ibn maktum what makes his adhan. So he said, the first one is not adhan of soup, it's adhan of lay. The nafsi al-hadith. The text shows that yu'adhin bil lay. So, then they say what? Subh also has what? Two adhan. The second one, then what? The iqama. And this interpretation of the hadith is buttressed by evidence. Hadith of Aisha radhiallahu anha in Sahih Muslim, likewise in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who pray nawafil, then he will sleep. If he has anything or he has anything to do with his wives, he will do it. That is, maybe have sexual intercourse with them, he will do that. He said, and if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now hears the adhan, he hears the an-nida al-awwal, that is why it is a Muslim, an-nida al-awwal. If he hears the nida al-awwal, Aisha radhiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get up, وأفاض عليه الماء أي pour water on himself. She said ثم صلى ركعتين, then he prayed to ركع. الإمام النووي رحمه الله تعالى in the شرح of Sahih Muslim said ركعتين فجر, that is the two ركع that Prophet Allah will pray is what? ركعتين. So Aisha radhiallahu anha said what? An-nida al-awwal. If he hears the nida al-awwal, he will get up. You know, he had prayed the hajj before. So he slept. So he had sexual intercourse with his wife. He will get up when he hears the nida. He will pour water on his body that he will take his ghusl. Then he will pray what? Rakaati al-fajr. So that hadith also support it. And those who say no, Iqamah is not the second adhan. Eh? That the adhan of the night is what? In the fourth adhan. So what is the evidence? You bring the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Likewise, another from another companion, both of them authentic. That الصلاه خير من النوم في الاذان الاول ها الصلاه خير من النوم في الاذان الاول من الصبح الصلاه خير من النوم في الاذان الاول من الصبح الصلاه خير من النوم is in the fourth adhan of subh. Is it based on that we have to do what? But if you look at that hadith critically, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, is there support for them?
No,
ask what's been a subshi. So if you look at hadith critically, there is no support of them. Why? Because it mentioned what? Min al-subhi. Fil adhan al-awwal, min al-subhi.
We also have two adhan and iqamah.
And what?
Two adhan and one iqamah.
Okay.
Making three.
Making three. Okay, which are then the...
So the first one we need is the one that Bilal...
But that one is not subhi now. Because that one is in Bilal, you have been delayed. You have been in the so that one is late. Why this one categorically said what is adhan is awwal min al-subh? So,
that was
so, however, the issue, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala in Tamam al-Minna was trying to bring people back to what? Or let me say, was trying to bring people to what he considered to be what? The correct opinion, which is what the fourth advance should be what as the last term that now right now. But the matter is still a controversial issue among the scholars. Some of the opinion that what as the last term that now can be done in any one of them, whether the fourth one that is that of the night or that of what Al-Imam al-Nawawi in his book Al-Majmur said. Likewise, the Al-Musura Al-Kuwaitiyya, they also mentioned is there is ikhtilaf there, but the issue is not that tense or strict as you say, okay, maybe these people are doing bid'ah, they are doing if you go by it, you say that what the majority's opinion is favored. It's more supported, it has more support from the text, or from the hadith of Aisha, because she said bid'ah awwal, and after that she mentioned what? Suraka. Which means that what Danid al Awwal is what comes before, immediately before what? Rakat al Fajri and what? The Salah. So Allahu A'lam. So this is just by the way. So, Bayna Kulli Adhanain Salah. Between two Adhan, that is the Adhan that you know, and the Iqamah which is also referred to as Adhan, there is what? Salah. So, that means, it's either you pray these two raka, or you pray what? The four raka. Rahimallah Muran Sallah, Qabla al-Asri Arba'in. So if you can't do this, you do this. So, but if you look at what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Rahimallah, may Allah have mercy upon the one who prayed four raka before Asri. وعن عبد الله بن مغفل المزني رضي الله عنه from عبد الله بن مغفل المزني الله يكرمه فيه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوا قبل المغرب ثم قال في الثالثة لمن شاء كراهية أن يتخذ الناس سنة رواه البخاري The Prophet Allah said, pray before Maghrib, pray before Maghrib. Thumma qala fi Farisa. Then, at the third time, the Prophet Allah said, liman sha'a who wills. This is not compulsory. Kara'iyat an yattakhidha an-nas sunnatan. Because he will not like the people to take it sunnah. And that's why they will tell us, there are some things that we can do, acts of worship. As long as you have not taken them to the word sunnah, there is no harm. Take for instance, you pray tahajjud in jama'ah at times. Maybe a friend of yours visits you, and you say, oh, let's pray. And both of you pray tahajjud. Or you go to somebody's house during the duha and say, let us pray duha. And you pray duha together. Or you say, let us recite the Quran. If these things are done once in a while, not on a constant basis, it is not considered what? Bid'ah. It's not considered what? Bid'ah. But if it becomes a constant practice, maybe you make it weekly affair, or monthly affair, or quarterly affair, or yearly affair, this resembles that of the Shari'iyya. It resembles that of the Shari'iyya, that is the recommended. It resembles the five daily prayers, or the Jum'ah prayer, or what? Or the Eid. And that's why when they ask what is the definition of bid'ah, he said, bid'ah is tariqatun mukhtara'atun tudahi al-shar'iyya yuqsadu bis-suluki 'alayha. That is tariqa mukhtara, a way that one has what chosen for himself, that has designed for himself, tudahi al-shar'iyya, that looks like the one put down in the Sharia. Yuqsad bis-suluki 'alayha. The intention of doing it is al-mubalagha ta'abbud billahi subhanahu. To do the worship of Allah to carry towards perfection. That is bid'ah. So we look at something that is bid'ah, that is not bid'ah in the deen, and this is not what it means, then it can be bid'ah. Anything that you call bid'ah in the deen for something that somebody is using it to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So something that you use to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be bid'ah. If one is not using something to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not considered to be bid'ah. So these conditions must be fulfilled. So somebody who, after every salah, he raises his hand up and starts supplicating. Why are you doing this? Why? To draw near Allah? Where is the text that says, after every salah, you should be raising up your hands? There is no text. But what will tell you about the first of Allah says, that in Allah hayyun kareem yastahyi idha rafa'a bikum yadayhi an yarudda'u ma sufran khaibati. If Allah is ayy, shah, not like to say anyone of you raising his hands. This is what shari'iyya. So that often now brings what? Raising his hand after every salah to make it look like what? The shari'iyya. Because Allah does not restrict it to say, okay, after every salah. Just, it's free, it's open. So if one wants to do it where the Prophet Allah has told it open, that means once in a while, you can do it. Whether after salah, whether anytime. But for it to not be okay, it's after every salah that will be doing it. That is what you are making it to look like what? The Shari'iyya. And he said what? Yuqsad bis-suluki 'alayha al-mubalaghatu fi ta'abbudi lillahi subhanahu. The intention is what? To worship Allah, to the what? To perfection. And that's why it will be difficult for somebody who is doing this back, for you to tell him to leave it. Because the person knows that what he's doing is not what? What I sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why those people who gather themselves as continuous in driving me. And they were saying, subhihu me, I say subhanallah 100. Hallelujah, say la ilaha illallah 100. Kabbiru me, I say Allahu Akbar 100. So they were saying all this. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came to them and he saw them in this situation. He turned back, he went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud of Allah and he said, well, when I go to the mosque, I saw some people doing so and so. What I've seen them doing is not something that's much, that is evil. That is la ilaha illallah, is evil. Alhamdulillah is evil. Subhanallah is evil. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud al-Ash'ari said, what did you tell them? You should have told them that they should watch. They should be counting their evil deeds. Perhaps this one watch will save them in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he got there, he said, Ya Ummata Muhammadin, Ma Asra Alakatakum, O Ummah of Muhammad, why did a few people destroy yourself easily? These are the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are Sahabu, these are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who among them did you see doing this? You know, the answer, the response of their leader is what? No, I read them and said, you only intended good. What is wrong in this? Yes, you can't tell them that lie like that lie is wrong. You can't tell them that what? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah is wrong. Ma aradna illa al-khayr. But Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who had watched, who had received training from the Prophet Allah and said, can we read the khayri lan yusiba? How many a person who intend good but will not get that good? So in that case, Qudai Shab'iyya, what they do, what they were doing was what? Was similar to the Shari'iyya. So it would be difficult for somebody who is not grounded in knowledge to refute them. Because you will be convinced, but la ilaha illallah. Subhanallah, what is wrong in this thing? Well, let me leave these people. Just like somebody told me, he said, one of these Sufi people, they came to their mosque. So this question was now talking about the duty and the importance of what being in Tariq of Tijaniyah. That said, was not talking about who they would do la ilaha illallah. Was not talking about the importance of that. La ilaha illallah. Was not talking about, no, la ilaha illallah, the importance of la ilaha illallah. He was talking about all these things. So, now said that, no, don't let anybody deceive you that you should not do Tariq, you shouldn't do Tijaniyah. This is what people are saying here. This is the important benefit of la ilaha illallah. So the Imam of the mosque, who was not a Sufi person, but not that he really have understanding, now thanked the man after the man has delivered the talk. And I say, Abdul Qayyafun, Afa, Osorom, Kwa, Lai, 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 Ulo, Kupo, Oshie, Bopo, Oshie, Ulo, Toye, Tabawa, Ulo, Ku, Ayima, Lai, 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 so look at the way he knocked that thing off. Ordinary man would have watched, would have carried the people away with that word with his sweet mouth. So to tell us that what to do is Sharia, it looks like what the Sharia has watched. It would be difficult for you to, because in that case, somebody who has not learned how to debate people, not say, la ilaha illallah, we'll learn so. Be there and go back. So people will not say, you see them? I've told you about them. For somebody to say, la ilaha illallah, is bigger. Somebody also came to me one day. He said, one of our members here, in our mosque, he met with some people over there. And I said, you know, we need to go to the Tell us about the Allah, our life, cut away, saluna, Allah, and be a man, and salu, I don't think the same. Oh, it's about your salat, man. What if I be keep cold job on your money, shake a man, pay job on your money, shake a man, no, it's not that it's over me. So the woman was so rigid on her position, thinking that what? We have evidence of what you have been now. In Allah, our life, cut away, salu, Allah, and be. Yeah, you're in Amman, salu, I don't think the same. They are not saying that people shouldn't do a salat. Sotudoi Shabaiya. I thought it would be difficult for you to convince them because you come to Suluki Aleha Al-Mubalaga fi ta'abud lillahi subhanahu. They believe that we are trying to worship Allah in the best manner. These people are trying to. So the Prophet of Allah said, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib, pray before Maghrib. Sallu qabla al-Maghrib, pray before Maghrib. In that edge, the third time, the man sha'a for whom wills. Kara'iyata an yastakhidha unnaf sunnah. Kara'iyata yastakhidha unnaf sunnah. For if he was afraid that people would take it to watch sunnah, and it's not sunnah. But it's not sunnah ratiba. So for people who do not take it to be sunnah ratiba, and that was why the Prophet of Allah will not pray before Maghrib most of the time. Once in a while you do that. But for him to now, for one to now do that all the time, that there is two sunnah before Maghrib, there is two sunnah before Maghrib, that will not work. It will not be okay. Now there is a difference between these times. Bayna kulli adhanain salah. Between two adhan evokes salah. There is a difference between that. And sallu qabla al-maghrib, sallu qabla al-maghrib. So that's why some of the companions of the Prophet of Allah, as we can see the next one, وَلِمُسْلِمٍ أَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And Muslim also report from Anas رضي الله عنه قال كُنَّا نُصَلِّ رَكَعَتَيْنِ بَعْضَ غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. We will pray two raka after sunset. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَرَانَا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will see us. فَلَمْ يَأْمُرْنَا. He did not order us to do it. وَلَمْ يَنْهَنَا. And he did not forbid it from us. Now if you look hadith of Anas رضي الله عنه, compare with the hadith of Abdullah al-Muzani, if you compare it, one would say, perhaps Anas رضي الله عنه did not hear the hadith of Abdullah al-Muzani. Have you? Perhaps you say that. But he said, كُنَّا نُصَلِّ رَكَعْتَيْنِ بَعْضَ غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ وَكَانَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يَرَانَ وَلَمْ يَأْمُرْنَا. Did not order us. Have you? But part of Abdullah al-Muzani said, وَصَلُّ قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ, صَلُّ قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ. So we say, perhaps, maybe Anas did not hear it. Or we say, perhaps, he had it, but what he meant, وَلَمْ يَأْمُرْنَا, he did not order us the way he ordered us that of the Rawati. This one is what is better, not to have what good opinion of a companion. If a companion or any of the righteous people, if they say something, and that thing can be interpreted in a bad way, it can also be interpreted in a good way. What is good for us is what for us to interpret that thing in the good way. Because these people are good people. They are righteous people, they are pious people. So any of the things that they say that can be interpreted in two ways. One good, the other bad. It is better we interpret it what as good. Because these people, since they are good people, they will not say what is not good. So unlike what people will do today, when somebody says something, they have been, you see, it can be interpreted in a bad way, can also be interpreted in a good way. Because you want to finish that person, you know what? You now interpret it in a bad way. But at times somebody may say something, that thing, what will be interpreted in a bad way. But one knows that this couldn't have been the intention of the sayer. Like what is going on today among the Muslims, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, maybe a known scholar, a renowned scholar, whose part of usul, part of his aqidah, is what? The love of the companions. You know, part of the usul of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that what? We have to love the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not abuse any one of them. not somebody maybe posting on the net, so and so posting abusing the confiners. Take for instance in the society, Sheikh Arabi is abusing the confiners, or Sheikh Abdul Hassan Maribi is abusing the confiners. This is stupidity. How could they have abused the confiners when part of their usul is that they should love what? They should love the confiners. And how could they be abusing the confiners? Why some of them have overwritten books talking about what the law for the confiners, the position that the confiners occupy in the act of the Muslims. But maybe they take one mistake or the other. Some of people say, no, that is all the intended. By that statement, they will not say no. So and so person is abusing the confiners. There are a lot of things like that. So if a Muslim says something, we know this Muslim has something else that is good. But in confining that particular thing, we try to take it to be the it on the good side, not on the evil side. Because we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَ لَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَءُوفٌ. So we will do this supplication, but we do not want to implement it. Brothers of yours say something, say okay. Only if what they have said is wrong, say no, that is proper. This is the sawab. But for you to take his personality and finish him, no, that is not what the way of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So, this companion, Zira with Anas of the line, was not aware of the hadith of Abdullah al-Muzani. And the Prophet of Allah said, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib, Sallu qabla al-Maghrib. وقال في الثالثة لمن شاء كراهية أن يتخذ الناس سنة. That was he's not aware of this. Or we said he was aware, but what he intended by ولم يأمرنا ولم ينهانا is that he did not order us the way he could have us for the Prophet. So the Prophet of Allah عليه وسلم who see that shows the Prophet of Allah will not do it. Why wouldn't he do it? Why he ordered them to do it? Do you mean that what? The Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam, most of the time, he will come out of his house and watch. He will lead the salah. Most of the time, he will come out of his house, he will lead the salah. So they might not see him doing it anymore. So maybe he has done it in Rome, maybe he did not do it. So one can really say, but based on his statement, karahiyat an yattakhidha an-nas sunnah. Wa an Aisha radiyallahu anha qalat, kan an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yukhaffif rak'atayn allatayn qabla salati as-subh hatta inni aqulu aqra bi ummi al-kitab muttafaqun alayhi. Aisha radiyallahu anha said, the messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would not lengthen the two rak'ah al-latayn qabla salat al-subh, that was before salat al-subh, that is rak'ah al-fajr. Hatta inni aqul, Aisha radhiyallahu anha says, to the extent that what he was shorten it to the extent that I would say, aqara bi ummi al-Qur'an, he didn't recite Fatiha. Now this is not an evidence for the demands. Now what? They will rush their, we know the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recite a verse, till it will appear as what? Atwala min, atwala min. To be longer than what is longer than that verse or chapter. Take for instance, if he's reciting Suratul Al-Kawthar for his time now. You will recite Suratul Kawthar, she tells me that what it will appear as if you're reciting, take for instance, you're reciting Suratul Duha. So Suratul Duha is what? It's longer than Suratul Kawthar. So the Prophet of Allah will recite Suratul Kawthar as if he was reciting Suratul Duha. And that's why he said the intention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what is with tertil. Tertil will be reciting Umm Salama radhiyallahu anha, containing hadith in Abi Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to pause on every verse. To pause there. What does it mean? It is compulsory for us to pause on every verse. It's not compulsory according to what the Jumhur of the scholars have said and the Jumhur of the Muhaddith. Why? It's not compulsory to do that. What is important to us to recite the Quran, recite it in a good way? As for the fastness, so to say, and the slowness, it has to do with individuals. Now, by doing Taraweeh, during time of Umar of Allah, when he asked Imam to lead people, it depends, those who are fast, you ask them to recite 30 verses or so. Then those who are slow reciter, they will recite about 25 or so verses in every rakah. So to the extent that what they will appear to have used the same time. That shows people, like some people now, if they are reciting slowly, it affects their memorization. I don't know if you have observed things like that. Some people, when they are memorizing, they don't like using people like Hussoy. They prefer using people like Sudey for their memorization. Why some people prefer using, a lot of people prefer using what? Hussoy for their memorization, Nishawi. But they will not recite with Hussoy, that is the slowness of Hussoy when they are reciting the slowness of in shout, because it will make them forget what they have memorized. So it depends on individuals. So that's not an evidence for those who just recite anyhow. The Prophet of Allah will recite Surah Al-Fatiha. The only thing is that he would not recite it the way it was used to recite it. So to the extent that Aisha of Allah said, Aqara bi Umm al-Kitab, did he recite Umm al-Kitab or not? وعن أبي هريرة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قرأ في ركعة الفجر قل يا أيها الكافرون قل هو الله أحد رواه مسلم. In addition to reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in ركعة الفجر, you can also add قل يا أيها الكافرون and قل هو الله أحد. قل يا أيها الكافرون in the first ركعة, قل هو الله أحد in the second, based on the hadith of Abu Yaradallahu Anzu. Apart from these, there is another one that the Prophet was also recites. That is the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah and likewise one in Ali Imran. Kul amanna billahi wa ma unzila ilayna. Then the other one, Kul ya al-kitab ta'alaw la kalmatin sawa'in. So recite this one, these two verses. This is also in Muslim. So based on these scholars' views, that what there is nothing wrong if one recites maybe a verse, two verses when you are praying, maybe compulsory prayer or what, or nafila, to recite two verses. When we say it is permissible to recite a verse after Surah Al-Fatiha, it is not like what some people will do today, maybe when they are doing their Taraweeh. So they will say what? Mud ammatani Allahu Akbar Yasin. Yes, it's a verse, but that's not the way of the Salah. So you recite verses that make not like make sense, but that, you know, are used to. We are not saying they do that they know about Salah. Reciting Surah after Fatiha is not what? No, but you know your intention for doing that is that you are targeting 13 Raka. You want to be the 13 Raka. And nobody has imposed 13 Raka on you, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. Nobody has imposed 10 Raka or 11 Raka on you, Ramadan or outside Ramadan. What Aisha of the line said that Makan and Nabi Fawza be a video for Ramadan, wala tighayra la shi ashara Raka. The Prophet of Allah will not exceed 11 raka in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. He has not made it mandatory on us that in Ramadan you have to pray And he has not said that in Ramadan you have to come to the mosque to pray what? To pray Taraweeh. That's why Umar radiallahu anhu, the next person after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in this ummah, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not join them in the Taraweeh. He will pray on his own. To the extent that he said that what? وَالَّتِي يَنَمُونَ عَنْهَا أَحَبُ إِلَيَّ. The time that we move what? Who leave, that is related to the last part of the night, said that is more beloved to me than if any part should eat of the night that they will pray it. We are not doing this. That's why Sheikh Mughir, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, has a strange opinion, as compared to the opinion of the scholars. Majority of the scholars are of the opinion that it is sunnah, it is mustahab, it is better for us to join them, though it's not compulsory. But for one to look a place. But he says to him, it is not sunnah to do that. What is sunnah is for you to pray in your house. After the salat is married, he beti, illa al-maktuba. So he said it is better for one to pray it in the house, particularly when the imam is behaving with the target, raka, and you now watch, he'll be running. Like those who are praying 21. You be arguing, no, it's 21. Okay, who is the 21 that you are talking about? Look at you have prayed 21 in less than 15 minutes. What is the essence of, why not pray 3 in those 15 minutes? Instead of praying 21 in what? In 15, 20 minutes. So the Prophet of Allah will pray 11. And when they say we pray 11, he will lengthen it. He will lengthen it. So it's not an evidence for those who say, those who do Mujahmatani, Yasin, and the like. So we are not saying that Salat is what? Is invalid or has problem. But that's not the question. As long as what they do, the Akan of Salat perfectly. If they do not do that, then their Salat has a problem. Inshallah, we'll stop there and take some questions for the 15 minutes.
You were defining sunnah, and you said it was going to be like the Sharia. I read from Tampa, Bida, said it was super. Bida to Ashutia, Bida to Ashutia. There are some Bida that I put through video on the phone, and they are phone that they have described. I wanted to explain on that. Then, secondly, the statement that you are saying, what do you call the action of some people in King Samasaji, instead of making their dance, they just put the chipset of the recorded Hadar and put a lot of figures for it. Firstly, you said it is not required of you to recite Hadar one after the other in the Quran.
No,
it's
not compulsory.
So now, I would want to recall to Surah Al-Fatiha, written by Ali Shabbat Al-Hanna, on the care of the Messenger of Allah.
Mustalaba? No,
Mustalaba. Okay, now, in that hadith, it said that God is one higher after the other. And the Messenger of Allah, he said, Sundu,
Remember, fourthly, the definition is that Hid'ah is a way that is designed that looks like the Sharia. It looks like what? The Sharia. So there is no, anything you want to call Hid'ah must be a way designed by one. And that thing looks like what? The Sharia. And the intention of that thing is to get the pleasure of Allah. So if it's not to get the pleasure of Allah, then it can be bid'ah. If it's not to get the intention of Allah, the pleasure of Allah, it can be bid'ah. Let me give an example for this. Take for instance, in the past, those who introduced ta'wil of sifat. Those who also introduce some other things like the Mu'tazila, the Asha'ira, the Maturidiyya. These people, they introduced all these things that they introduced What? Is it for them to enter hellfire? Because I believe that, how could you have said that Allah has answered? It doesn't make sense now. So, and they will watch, they will debate that thing, argue it. Strongly, in order to defend what? To defend, not themselves, to defend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they will say. You get it now? No, it's not possible. Allah does not have that. Say Allah has that, it's like we are liking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation. That doesn't make sense now. So, and that's why, if you ask the Mu'tazila, what is Tawheed? Their own Tawheed, they believe that what? Interpreting the attributes of Allah in such a way that does not agree with that of human being, apparently, they said to them, that is what Tawheed. But this thing you are doing, you are not doing it because of what? In order to enter a fire. You are doing it because they believe that is the right way that they can get the pleasure of Allah. And now, guys, the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah have refused to watch the takfir of them. Because these people, their intention is what? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that. But what they have, the method that they have used, the method is what is wrong, but is not what? Kufru. The ta'wil that they did, the ta'wil is ta'wil, ta'id. That has basis. That has basis what? In the deen. That's what in the language, in the Arabic language. Though the deen does not support it. So they would excuse them here. The same thing applies to somebody who is after the comment and say, La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna wa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Something like that. If you ask him, why are you doing this? You know, I want to get the fire, that's why I'm doing it. He will tell you, I want to get the pleasure of Allah. So you saw this suluki alayha al-mubalagha. Fi ta'abbud illahi subhanahu. Then is what? Fudai shar'iyya. The reason why the person will not leave that thing is because it looks like what? It's in the deen. You tell him, no, this is in the deen. Just like the Mu'tazila will say, no, this is what makes sense. This is what befits Allah. It does not defeat Allah to say that Allah has hands. But Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah will say, what is the problem with you? Allah has hands. Does it mean the hand of Allah is like your own hand? Let me ask you this question. Does Allah have essence? You say, yes, Allah has essence. Then you should have negated that as well. But Allah does not have essence because human being also has what? Essence. So if you say, but the essence of Allah is not like the essence of human. You say, Jazakallah khair. The same thing. The hand of Allah is not like the hand of what? Human being. So if you take this paper and you say this is a white paper, you take this cap or you take this garment, say white. The whiteness of the soul, this is what? Different. So if you are putting it this way, it would have what? But when they say hand of Allah, what comes to your hand is what? Like your own hand. When they say Allah descends from the seventh heaven to the down, to the fourth heaven, what comes to your hand is like the way you are descending from Molwe or you are descending from a aeroplane. That is what comes to your mind. But if you have known that what? Later, can you see? What was telling you? Allah hears, you hear. The hearing of Allah is different from your own hearing. Everybody is talking here. Everybody is talking in this estate, outside, Alaba, Maitu, Nigeria, America. Everybody is talking, Allah hears everything at the same time. But you, if we are talking here now, if two persons, three persons are talking now, we will not be able to hear what they are saying. So you are also hearing, but the hearing of Allah is different from your hearing. So when you say, how is it possible that Allah will be hearing everything? What comes to your mind is that, but I cannot hear everything. No, you are different. Both of you hear, but the hearing of Allah is different from your ear. So that is what the scholars are explaining when they say, Tudai Shari'iyya is Shari'iyya. He resembles that. You see that they are using something that is already existing, but they are using it in a wrong way. Take for instance, La ilaha illallah. The Prophet of Allah said a lot of things concerning La ilaha illallah. But somebody who is in Rukun and La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. My friend, you are supposed to say Subhanahu Rabbi al-Azim. What do you mean? Subhanahu Rabbi al-Azim and La ilaha illallah, which one is greater? So you are telling me that this is what you are supposed to say. He is telling you what? Bringing the benefit of La ilaha illallah. So today, Sharia. So that is what they are referring to. Whether Bidya Idofiya or Bidya Hakikiya, they all watch. Bidya Idofiya is what? What is recommended in the deen. We now transfer it to somewhere else. That is Bidya Idofiya. Bidya Hakikiya is what? Is Bidya that this thing does not have what? Basis. You know that it's existing somewhere. So if the company is now doing it with the intention of joining near Allah, you see what? You see the
what's it otherwise?
Yeah? If it is otherwise, it can't be otherwise. Say for instance now somebody is fornicating.
Yes.
Is that Bidya?
No.
When we say I'm purifying those women that I'm sleeping with, as some shape would say. You know that some shape would say that. They say, come, I'll purify. And he believes maybe Shaitan has inspired him that Lord is purifying those women with what? With that illicit act that he's doing. He becomes what? Bidya. Because he believes he's joining Allah with this act. He becomes what? Bidya, not Masiya only. So, Masiya can become what? Bidya. It depends on the intention of that. If you do anything and your intention is what? To draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that thing, it becomes what? Bidya. But if the intention is not to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, or it does not have anything to do with what? Religion. Take for instance, not anything age. And that's why back there and all this movie maybe is what? Is considered bidya. Because age is what you do that comes on the same person, maybe every month or every year. But there must be a tech thing you should do it that way. So age is what is part of the deen. So and the deen is what? Is used to seek the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it now? So that's right.
Mother's Day.
All these Mother's Day, whatever day, they're all what? They're all age. So an age in Allah qad abdalakum khayran minhuma. Yawm al-hawa wa yawm al-futri. When the Prophet of Allah got to Medina, he saw them celebrating 2 days. So what are these 2 days that you are celebrating? They said that this you are doing before you came. The Prophet Allah said, leave them. Allah has given you 2 others in substitute. Yawm al-Adha wa yawm al-Futri. That is Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Futri. With this text, it shows that anything age that is repeating itself on the same person, on the same person is what is deen, is religion, and it is ibadah. So and one should not do ibadah except with it. Coupled with the fact that there is a lot of fitna that comes from all this bad day of a team. You mean you have 5 children now. Every year you have to spend for 5 of them. You have to buy this for them. Maybe you are poor. For instance, your child has seen your neighbor being that, now father, let us do our own. They'll be borrowing money from people to do all these things. It is for sure Google cast the kuffar. Allah wa. Which other one?
What
the scholars have said is that it's not composed. If you look at the hadith, the Prophet Allah said, "Son, look, Kamara, I have to usolli. Pray as you see me pray." Or before that, we say the Prophet Allah said, "As Ummu Salama said." That the Prophet Allah will pause on the on every verse, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, as Umm Salama radiallahu anha described that in the now he will do it. He will do it. Not that what he asks you to do it. The difference. He will do it. It's different from what he asks you to do it. For instance, the Prophet Allah Salaam who pray 11 raka in his watch, in his way through, and he will lengthen it to the extent that what? His feet will become what? Falling. And Aisha radiallahu anha will say, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, you are doing this, of course, Bushra Allah Ta'ala Ta'ala means them this. And the Prophet will say, what? Afala akura abda shakura. So that means that he will do it, we should also watch. Between it. So then let's go to the hadith of Sallu Kamara Yatimuni Usalli. Pray as you see me pray. Is it me? It is compulsory to pray the way Prophet Allah Zulam pray all the qualities that he did? The answer is what? Is no. This is the consensus of the scholars. That is not that the not all the things that the Prophet did in his salah will be able to do. They say that is what? His recitation, his ruku, to judge, everything is what? Qariban, min as-sawa. They are almost the same thing. So, and when he's praying his Fajr prayer, when he was praying the Fajr prayer, he said, as he says, he recites about 50 to 100 verses. That means any person who wants to pray should recite about 50 to 100 verses. People will run away from such a person. And the hadith of Mu'adh on the line, who left people in Salah and was leading them with Salah to Bukhar, and somebody pulled out and went and did his own Salah. And when he put out, people were calling him Munafiq. And the man was saying, what type of Munafiq is that? So he went to the Prophet of Allah and said, O Messenger of Allah, people are calling me Munafiq. Mu'adh will be with you. He will stay long, he will come back, and I will be lending the Salah again. The Prophet of Allah said, what will you say? I will say, I will say, I am a Dandanatuka, or Dandanatu Mu'adh, what I will say. After your own Dandana, you say, Tuesday, and that of Mu'adh. I don't know about that. You can't do that. The Prophet of Allah said, how the hell is it? What you are saying, what your Fatiha contains, and you supplicate, you supplicate, that you say, that is what you are also doing. And he called Mu'adh, Afatan Wanta, he now recommended to him. He will lead people, he will recite, Sadis Marabika Al-Ala, he will recite the Shams wa Duha. That shows not in all cases you can copy the Prophet of Allah with respect to his Ibadah. So he's one that we think later that these things are what compulsory on us. Then we see they are compulsory. Scholars will say that hadith, Sallu Kamara Yatimuni Usalli, will take it like that to be compulsory. That is, the ibadah of the Prophet of Allah should be, particularly the salah, should be taken as what's compulsory until we see text that softens that ibadah or that salah or that aspect that this thing is not compulsory. Wallah. Okay.
About
the other one is video, yeah. Said it's video. That is not what is expected is of people to say Adhan. The same thing applies to somebody who buys this thing that is saying Assalamu alaikum. When you tell that today, now believe that when you tell that thing, you have made a simple thing. You are not going to get reward for that. It is toy that is talking to you. Now, last question, Sean. What is authentic is that the Prophet of Allah will not pray, that it is not clear that he will pray what to Oraka. If you look at the explanation of the scholars. Now one has to authenticate that whether the hadith is authentic or not. Because based on what Anas of the line said, that the Prophet of Allah will see us, Walam Ya'murna, Walam Yenhana. That of Abdullah al-Muzani. But, Wallahu A'lam. Where is it? Well, inshallah, I can't talk about the authenticity of that report. I'll try and check it, inshallah. I'm giving you subhanakallahumma. Sorry. Can one use perfume that contains small alcohol? Can a woman who is doing a Ida Wafa be going to market or trading during that time? Now I'm using perfume that contains alcohol. There is a difference of opinion among the scholar on that. Some of the scholars are of the opinion that since it contains alcohol, one should not use it. The fact that alcohol, whether methanol or ethanol, both of them are what alcohol, they are khamru. So, and khamru is what is next. As some scholars have once understood from the verse, innama al-khamru wal-maisir wal-ansab wal-azlam, which is min amal shaytan fashtanibu. So based on that, you see one cannot make use of perfume that contains alcohol. This is the position of Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullahu ta'ala. Now some scholars have the opinion that one can use it as long as the content or the percentage of the alcohol, if used, will not intoxicate, that is if one tastes it. And will not make one smell alcohol. If one will smell alcohol, then doesn't defeat a Muslim to be smelling alcohol. So if one is not going to smell alcohol, there is nothing wrong in that. That is the position of Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah. That is said, what is forbidden is what is the consumption, that is the drinking of it. That's what is, what is forbidden. Likewise, the position of Sheikh Salim bin Uthaymeen Rahimahullah Ta'ala and some other scholars who took that position. Some differentiated between the two. They said most of these perfumes are ethanol, not ethanol. So ethanol is the one that is haram. While ethanol is not haram. So that is the opinion of Sheikh Abdul Razak, Afifi, and some others. So a rajih is that one can make use of perfume that has alcohol, as long as one is not going to smell alcohol and is not going to taste alcohol, one is not going, it's not the amount that can intoxicate one. So if that is the mixture, cannot intoxicate. Can a woman in her Iddah period, can she go to the market? There is no harm. She can go to the market maybe to get something. But for trading, if she does not have somebody to take care of her, there is nothing wrong in that as well. There is nothing wrong in her going to the market if she doesn't have somebody to take care of her. But if she has somebody to take care of her, it is better she stays at home in that period lapses. So that's the all the scholars have said. And this, Allah alam, subhanak Allahu wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
They said you should wait the eyes.